Good morning, everyone. It's lovely to be with you again this morning, and could I just say what an honor and a privilege it has been to be here these last 2 weeks doing the gospel mission. I have thoroughly enjoyed it. I haven't enjoyed the journey, but I've enjoyed the fellowship. I've enjoyed God's people. I've enjoyed preaching the gospel here, and it's been a real blessing. And you have been more a blessing to me than I think I have been to you. And I really do appreciate your support and your care and your concern for me over the last fortnight. And we trust the Lord for his blessing in the days to come. But please remember this evening, come out tonight. We're going to preach. The title of the sermon tonight is The Silence of the Lamb. The Silence of the Lamb. Like every good gospel message, you want to finish at the cross. And every good gospel mission should always finish at the cross, and that's where we want to finish at this evening. We're going to look at the silence of the Lamb tonight, so please come out and bring others with you. But if you have your Bible with you this morning, turn with me to John chapter 4. We're just finishing our wee study on connecting with people. John chapter 4 and verse 15 we'll be starting at. You'll have to forgive me, I've got a cold, and I'm dosed up in Lemsips and Convornia, and cough sweeties, but I don't know if it'll do any good or not, but we'll get through the best we can. So here we are. We're in John chapter 4, verse 15. The woman saith unto him, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. And Jesus saith unto her, Go, call thy husband and come hither. And the woman answered and said, I have no husband. And Jesus said unto her, Thou hast well said, I have no husband. For thou hast had 5 husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We worship what we worship, for salvation is of the Lord. But the hour cometh and now is when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. And Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And upon this came his disciples and marveled that he talked with the woman. Yet no man said, What seekest thou, or why talkest thou with her? The woman then left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, Come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? Then they came out of the city and came unto him. Amen. And we know that God again will bless the public reading of his own inspired, precious, holy, infallible word. As I said, we have been looking at how to connect with people. And we were looking at the Lord Jesus Christ and how he connected with people. And we have discovered that evangelism is a godly work because the Lord was involved in it. And we are to take up our cross and follow the Lord. So evangelism should be a very important part of our life. And we were trying to find out how can we incorporate evangelism into our lives. And we found, first of all, that we are to live our lives as the Lord lived his life by divine appointment. He must needs go through Samaria, and we need to live our lives with divine appointment, with purpose and meaning. And also, we are to be gentle in our approach. And we learned last week how the Lord gently approached this woman and didn't just jump in with 2 feet, but built that bridge across which he could bring the gospel. As we look at this final portion, I want you to see the Lord's spiritual perception. The Lord's spiritual perception. Verse 15 reveals that this woman was, she was still in darkness. She wanted this water that the Lord had told her of. And if she had this water, she would never thirst again. And she wanted this water. But then she turns back to the well where she had always got what she thought she needed. It says there in verse 15, the woman saith unto her, Sir, give me this water that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. How often have you and I spoken to someone about their soul salvation? And after they have listened, and maybe we thought we were making some headway with them, they would have said to us, yes, you know, that seems good, but sure, I'll get it out of my church. I'll get it out of my church. Church was good enough for my parents, and it'll be good enough for me. I was brought up to do my best, and that would be all right. And so quickly, they want to go back to the old wells that they always drew from. They want a salvation that's easy. They want a salvation that is physical and not spiritual, that doesn't cost them anything, that doesn't change their lifestyle, that doesn't change the way they think and the way they live. And that's what we have today. There are many today, and they're propagating a salvation without change, without regeneration, without being born again. Just say you love Jesus and just continue on the way you are. Live whatever way you please. And this is what this woman was really thinking about. Could I get this water and it wouldn't have to change anything other than I wouldn't have to come and draw water out of this well? I want you to see just how the Lord approaches this woman. While she is still thinking on the natural level, the Lord begins to bring to her the spiritual need of her soul. And first of all, he confronts her sinfulness. You see, he has built the bridge. He has come and says, give me some water to drink. And he's had a chat with her, and he's built the bridge, and he's connected with her. But now he has to deal with her. And he brings to the fore her sinfulness. Verses 16, 17, and 18, he says unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus saith unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The church today, I feel, has been overrun with PC, political correctness, and in many places what they call wokeism. And you hear them saying, a lot of these companies that have went woke, if you go woke, you go broke. And I would say that to the church. If you go woke, you'll be spiritually broke. You'll be spiritually bankrupt. In this PC world that we live in today, it's not the thing to talk to people about their sin. It's not the thing anymore to confront people about their sin. We don't want people to feel uncomfortable. And we know that people don't want to hear about their sin. They don't want their failures brought to the surface. But beloved, sin is an everyday experience for mankind. And it is the greatest problem of mankind. Indeed, the Bible insists that we face people with their sin. It's the very first thing that the Holy Spirit convicts of. He convicts and convinces of sin, of righteousness and judgment to come. If people don't realize that they're sinners, they can't understand the concept of judgment, and they can't understand the concept of righteousness. They can't get it. And so the first thing that the Lord does here, he confronts her about her sin. But he's not just talking about her sin because her sin is there. You see, when the Lord is talking about her sin here, he's leading her on. He's wanting to get to the place where there's a cure for the sin. And we don't talk to people about their sin just because their sin is there. We talk to people about their sin because we have the good news. We have the cure. Maya, if you were going to the doctor and you weren't feeling too well, and the doctor went over all the stuff that was wrong with you and why it was wrong with you and all the rest of it, you would be miserable. That's not what you want to hear. Yes, you want the doctor to tell you all that's wrong with you, but you want him to say, now don't you worry about this, because here's the cure. We can make you better. And so it is when you're connecting with people with the gospel. You must tell them that they're sinners. They have to understand that. And I've been in some wonderful situations down through the years, meeting with people And I remember meeting with two men one day who were part of an organization, and they showed me around their club and all the rest of it. And we finished the sightseeing tour around their club, and we were standing in the middle of the dance hall. And I had never said anything to them the whole time I went round with them. But when they finished, I says, "Can I say something to you men?" And he says, "What is it?" "Well," I says, "if you do this for an organization that's damning your soul to hell, what would you not do for the Lord Jesus Christ that died to save you?" I says, "You men are sinners, and you need the Savior. And if you would get saved, you would turn this countryside upside down for the Lord." And you see, tell them their need. Tell them that they're sinners, and then bring in the cure. And that's what the Lord is doing here. And that's what people need to hear. They need to hear when we're connecting with them. They need to be confronted with their sin, but they also need to be told the good news of the gospel. We need to be able to tell them that Christ has come to seek and to save that which was lost. I want you to see something wonderful here, how the Lord deals with this woman. Verse 16, he says, "Go, call thy husband and come hither." The Lord commands this woman to do two things. First of all, go call thy husband. That was a word that was directed to her conscience. That was to prick her conscience. That was to uncover her sin. He was forcing her to confront her sinful condition. And then he says, not only was there a call of conviction, but he says, "And come hither." That was a call of invitation. That was a call to conversion. And that was the word of God to our heart. Beloved, conviction of sin brings a sinner back to Christ in their true character as sinners. But it also brings that wonderful call of conversion. In John chapter 1, verses 14, in verse 14 it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." And what we read there in John chapter 1, we see manifested. In John chapter 4, we see the grace and the truth working together. The truth of this woman's sinful condition. Go! And the truth of God's grace for her sinful condition. Come. Come. Truth that was directed to her conscience, and grace directed to her heart. Her reply, she's still trying to hide her sin. She says, "I have no husband." She says, "I have no husband." But I want to tell you, dear friends, this morning, if you're here this morning and you're not saved, you cannot hide your sin from the Lord. You can hide it from me. You can hide it from Pastor Ian. You can hide it from other people. But you cannot hide your sin from the Lord. The Lord looks at this woman and he sees into the very depths of her soul. He sees the darkness of her sin. He sees the sort of her sin. And he says, "You're telling the truth. You have five husbands and the man you're living with is not your husband. You've had five husbands and you're living in sin." I want to tell you, dear friends, this morning, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you're not saved, I confront you this morning with your sin. You're a sinner, and you need to be saved. There is a darkness in your soul this morning if you're not saved. I don't care how self-righteous you consider yourself. There is a darkness in your soul because of sin that is only a prelude to hell. It is. But I would say to you this morning, there is a Savior from all sin if you'll only let Him in. There's a cure this morning. Oh, there's folk talk to me and they say, "Oh, you Christians, you just need a crutch. Christianity is just a crutch to get you through life." Well, if you read through the Scriptures, any time the Lord met a man or a woman with a crutch, the crutch was thrown away because He's the cure. He's not the crutch. He's the cure. And I would say to you this morning, if you're not saved, you're a sinner and you're going to a lost eternity. But Jesus Christ came into the world to save you. And you can be saved this evening. You see, dear friends, sin drives you away from God. It separates you. It bids you to go from his presence. But grace, the grace of God, bids you to come this morning, to come and be cleansed and come and be saved. Yes, in the Lord's spiritual perception, he confronts our sin. But also, he confirms what true service is, what true worship is. Maya says there in verse 19, the woman saith unto him, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus says unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit, and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. For God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. While the Lord confronts this woman with the truth about herself, he blesses her with God's grace. But she's still putting up a fight. She's still turning to religion. Could religion not do it for me? What you're asking me, could religion not do it? And religion was her shield against redemption. And maybe you're here this morning and you've been brought up in a certain church and a certain denomination and a certain way of thinking, and you've been told that church is enough. Go through the procedures of the church. Take the sacraments. Have this done and have that done and have the other thing done, and you'll be all right. And every time you hear the gospel, you turn away from it and you lift up the shield of religion. And you say, will religion not do it for me? I tell you, there are some souls and they're not easy won. And most of the souls that are the hardest to win are the religious souls. They're hard to get through to. But she tries to shift the subject again, you see, onto religion. And I have met many people who are unsaved, and they think they know everything about Christianity, and they think they know everything about the church, and they want to try and argue over it this way and that way. I would say to you this morning, be like the Lord. Don't get sidetracked. Don't get driven away by mindless debate. The Lord wasn't interested in arguing over Christianity. He wanted this woman to meet Christ. He wanted this woman to be saved. He wanted this woman to have a new life. And the Lord wants this woman to see saving faith. That it's not found in this mountain or that mountain. It's not found in this temple or that temple. It's found in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's found in the Messiah. Look at verse 22. Ye worship, ye know not what. We worship what we worship. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. And what the Lord's just saying simply there is, at this moment, the Jews are right. Jews are worshiping in ignorance. The Jews have been instructed from God's word. And that wee phrase at the end there, for salvation is of the Jews. That word salvation is the equivalent of Savior. The Savior is of the Jews. Is that not what Simeon used when he held the Lord in his arms? He says, Lord, now lettest thy servant depart in peace according to thy word. For mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Mine eyes have seen thy Savior. John the Baptist did the same in Luke chapter 3 and verse 6. He says, and all flesh shall see the salvation of God, shall see the Savior of God. And the Lord is settling this argument by saying that the Messiah will come from the Jewish nation. But there's a but here in verses 23 down through to verse 26. He says, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Lord seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. And this but, it confirms what true worship is. And it's the worship that only the saved can bring before the Lord. You see, the Lord turns this woman away from the place of worship to the person who is to be worshipped. And what the Lord was saying is this: God will no longer be confined to a place, no longer be confined to a race. The hour has come when God will open up the gates of salvation to the world. And the question is not where you're to worship the Father, but how you're to worship the Father. Not where, but how. You see, there's two aspects to worship. We haven't time to go into it this morning. But firstly, we're to worship in spirit. Worship in spirit. And that just means we bring a worship that is not of the flesh, that is not external. It's not a worship that edifies and uplifts the person. It's a worship that brings to God the homage of a devoted heart and a Christ-like mind. When we worship, you see, we get mixed up with worship and praise. And what's called worship today isn't worship. Praise is saying, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for saving my soul. Thank you, Lord, for making me whole. That's praise, saying thank you. Worship is saying, take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. That's worship. Worship is laying our life on the altar for the Lord and saying, Lord, take my life and use it for your glory. Thank you for saving me, but take me and use me. And we're to worship in spirit, and we're to worship in truth. And this means that we ascribe to worship, the worship of God, that which is grounded in the Word of God. We come with a sincerity of soul, and we come with a devotion to the Word of God. Now, that's not two different kinds of worship. That's two aspects of the same worship. They go hand in hand. But let me point this out to you. Verse 24 says this, God is a spirit, and they that worship him, listen to it, must worship him in spirit and in truth. Could I say to you this morning, just as a wee side thought, God doesn't accept any old sort of worship. All right? He's not accepting any other alternatives to what he has said in his word. Must worship him. It is settled. It is final. If you look through the scriptures, there's three musts. In John chapter 3 and verse 7, you must be born again. In John chapter 3 and verse 14, the Son of Man must be lifted up. In John chapter 4 and verse 24, God must be worshipped in spirit and truth. And if you look at those in order, the first reflects the work of the God, the Holy Spirit. For he is the one who convicts of sin, righteousness, and judgment to come. He is the one who affects the new birth in the life of the sinner. The second refers to God the Son, for he is the one who died and made atonement for our sin. And the third refers to God the Father, because he is the object of our worship, the one who seekest worshippers. And beloved, the order cannot be changed. It is only those who have been regenerated by the power of God the Holy Spirit, justified by the atoning work of God the Son, can worship God the Father. You may be sitting in church, or you may be sitting in chapel, or you may be sitting somewhere else and singing hymns and all the rest of it and going through all the performance. If you're not saved, you're not worshiping. Oh, says you, pastor, I don't believe that. Well, Proverbs chapter 15 and verse 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. If you're not saved, your efforts at worship are an abomination to the Lord. He's not interested. My, the Lord is getting to the heart of this woman's need. And maybe we're getting to the heart of your need this morning. There had to be a change. Religion had failed. Tradition had failed. Heritage had failed. God is now seeking a direct communion with his redeemed people. God wants to enter into a personal relationship. Look at verse 25. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ, and when he cometh, he will tell us all things. My, this woman has tried everything to avoid her need. She has asked how and whence and where. But now, in a flash of divine inspiration, illumination, she says, I know. I know. She says, I know. And that's the same as I want Christ. Look at verse 26. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. And for the seventh and the last time, the Lord addresses this lost soul, and he wins her to himself. That moment she confessed her desire to have Christ, the Lord says, I am he. Oh, beloved, in that moment, this woman was saved. Can you see it this morning? Dear child of God, if we want to win souls, if we want to meet with people, if we want to connect with people, we have to connect with them, first of all, purposefully in our own hearts. We need to live under divine appointment, knowing that we are called to do this very work. We are to meet people with gentleness and care and with concern, but we are to meet them spiritually. We are to get to the point of their great need. Oh, that you, my unsaved friend, this morning would cry out, I want Christ. That would be the greatest prayer you'll ever make. I want Christ. For you'll find that the Lord Jesus Christ is here, and he's here to save you this morning. What became of that woman? Why, she says, I want Christ. I want the Messiah. What became of her? Well, if you read down to verse 28 there, it says, the woman left her water pot and went her way into the city and saith to the men, come see a man which told me all things that ever I did. Is not this the Christ? Then they went out of the city and came to him. Verse 39, and many of the Samaritans of the city believed in him for the saying of the woman which testified, he told me all that ever I did. So when the Samaritans were come unto him, they besought him that he would tarry with them, and he abode there 2 days. And many more believed because of his words, and said unto the woman, now we believe not because of thy saying, for we have heard him ourselves, and know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. What became of that woman? She became an evangelist. Now, she was an outcast. She came to the well at at 12 o'clock in the heat of the day when nobody else would be there, because she didn't want the embarrassment of having to meet other people who looked down on her. She had 5 husbands. She was living with a man. She was little more in the eyes of many people as a prostitute. And yet now she has met the Lord. Now there's a connection between her and the Lord, and her life has changed. And she goes out into the midst of the people. Into the midst of the people that she didn't want to see, that she didn't want to talk to, that she didn't want them to see her. And she stands in the midst. Can you see it? Going into the midst of the city and shouting, come, come see a man that told me all that ever I did. Is this not the Christ? And they all come out. And many believed. Beloved, this morning, who knows, if you go out to connect with people and tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save, what can be done for God's glory? They can go into the midst of their family and say, look, you have to come to Rathdrylland Baptist Church. Come and hear the message of the gospel. Is this not the Christ that we've been looking for? They might get into the middle of the workplace and do the same thing. They might stand in the street corner up there in Rathdrylland and start open-air meetings. Who knows? But you and I have got to connect. We've got to go out knowing that we live by divine appointment, going with care and love and grace and goodness in our heart to reach out even to the folk that we might not want to reach out to, and to tell them of their need, to tell them exactly who they are and what they are in the eyes of God, but bring to them this glorious message of the gospel so that they too can say, I want Jesus. I want salvation. And through your example, they would go on and be ambassadors for Christ, evangelists to this lost world. Beloved, are you going to be the sort of person that connects with people? Because that's what we need today. in our churches, in our towns, in our villages, in our neighborhoods. We need Christians who will connect with people. Amen. May God bless his word to our hearts and to our souls. Let's just bow in a word of prayer. Father, again, we thank thee for this wee study that we've been doing. We thank thee for your hand upon us and your help given to us this morning. We thank thee for your word. We thank thee, our Father God, that our Savior came with that straightforwardness. We thank thee, Father, for the day we were confronted of our sin and yet at the same time told of the grace of God. Father, we thank thee for the truth that never changes. And Father, we thank thee for a God who never changes. And we thank thee, our Father, that even if someone in here this morning would call upon the name of the Lord, they would be saved. Help us, Father, as the people of God, to connect with people. Let us get out of our comfort zone. Let us get out of the confines of buildings. And let us reach out into the world around us. For Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to sing our closing hymn this morning, closing this first part of our service, God Made Me for Himself. That's 328 in the hymn book, if you want to use the hymn book. Father, we pray that might be the prayer of each one of our hearts this morning, that we would live for God before it be too late. Help us as the people of God, our Father, to have the heart of the Savior, and Father, to connect with people and to tell them of Jesus, the mighty to save. Father, we just thank thee for thy blessings upon us this last fortnight. We ask that thy blessing might rest upon us now, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.